This podcast provides information to help esports professionals identify and approach legal problems. This podcast is intended for informational purposes only. Legal information is not the same as legal advice, which is an application of law to a party's specific set of circumstances.
You should not and are not authorized to use this podcast as a source of legal advice. And the information in this podcast does not create an attorney-client relationship between the Law of Esports podcast, any of the lawyers or affiliates of the podcast, and any consumer of this podcast.
Welcome to the Law of Esports podcast, the number one podcast that discusses legal issues as they apply to the world of esports. My name is Jake Hicks, and I'm an attorney that represents teams, leagues, and organizations.
And my name is Nefi Lopez, and I'm an attorney that represents players, streamers, and personalities.
And today we have a fantastic episode for you. It's another one of those episodes that's more of an update on our experience within the world of esports, gaming, and this fabulous industry that we love to work in. And we're going to talk about Nefi and I's shared experience with the Law of Esports at the Tim the Tatman Tailgate, one of the coolest events that we've been to that was unique because it was creator-driven. And the things we want to talk about today are really the reasons why we went, our experiences and the events of the first and second day, and also our experience at this media panel that took place just before the first and second day, the events of the weekend, including a really cool Fortnite tournament. And then lastly, we want to wrap up with kind of what we thought of the event, what they did really well, what maybe could be changed a little bit, but mostly just how awesome the weekend was.
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend, and we really can't say enough good things as to how awesome it was and how smooth and really exceeded our expectations. You know, whenever you hear about these events being thrown, expectations are really high. They're really high because the fans expect the most out of these creators. And whenever you can deliver on those expectations, I mean, it's such a wonderful thing to see. And so, and overall just us working and, you know, being able to see everybody there and just, it was just a great experience overall. And so let's start off with the very beginning, Jake. Why don't you kick us off here on this one?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had heard about this event, at some previous events we were at DreamHack, and then talking to some guys that we know kind of in the space and how excited some people were for the Tim the Tatman Tailgate. Specifically, we have some friends really across the esports industry, but some that work at Complexity, and we're fortunate enough that Complexity is in Texas. And so we're Texas lawyers, and we've sort of made a name for ourselves, at least in this state, which happens to be one of the biggest states for North American gaming. And so we heard that there was going to be a creator-driven event, which we thought was just very important for esports and gaming, because most of the things that Nefi and I have gone to have been really esports focused. So there's always some tournament or some, expo or something about tournaments, and content creation is kind of a side piece to that. This event promised to be a content creator driven event with esports as kind of a side attraction to it. And we thought that was awesome because content creators are a vital part of the esports ecosystem. And so we were fortunate enough to be invited by Complexity to come to the event as the Law of Esports duo. And so we went up to Frisco, and one of the first things that we got invited to was on Friday. The event was supposed to run Saturday to Sunday. On Friday, there was a kind of industry-only meeting and sort of question and answer panel where we got to meet some of the content creators and some other very cool people and see our friends at Complexity. And it was a really cool thing to go to. Unfortunately, right when that started, I had been called in on a last minute motion. And so Nefi got to go, I say do the heavy lifting, but it looked like a pretty good time from what I saw on Twitter.
Dude, it was amazing. Complexity partner with the Cowboys actually in this event. And really the Cowboys were the ones that spearheaded this. This was over at the Star in Frisco, where a lot of the team and the Cowboys host their practices and have events as well. And they were gracious enough to kind of host this event and, you know, really handle the whole situation. But in lieu of the event, prior to it starting, we had this panel that Jake was telling us about. And that just so you guys know, the panel consisted of Tim the Tatman, Jordan Fisher, who is one of the newest part owners of Complexity, and he's one of the newest members of Complexity, and then Justin Kinna, who is the CEO of GameSquare, which is like the sort of the parent company of Complexity. And, you know, those guys kind of were taking questions that we were able to either present or submit beforehand to kind of have that panel. And the best part about that panel was that it was moderated by our very good friend, Rita, who works for Complexity. And it's always a pleasure to see her. So, Rita, if you're listening to this, shout out to you. Thank you so much for being such a gracious host and for, you know, helping plan such an amazing event. You did a fantastic job of that panel, and we're excited to see you at the next event. But I stray away from the main point. It was actually quite a very good experience being able to hear, you know, Tim, Jordan, and Justin kind of discuss what it was like tackling such a large task that it was planning this event. Obviously, you know, we kind of walked through a little history of Tim the Tatman's growth, Justin Kinna kind of helping Complexity grow, you know, him along with all the other execs at Complexity and all the things they've done together. And then just, you know, kind of what their plans are going forward. And, you know, we've got the special appearance of Jordan Fisher in there, who was able to, he's a more eloquent speaker. And so I think he was a very good addition to the panel to kind of help talk about Complexity a little more. And so, I mean, it was just overall, it was a great experience. And, you know, the best part about it was following that panel, Jake and I were able to get a one-on-one sit-down interview with Justin Kinna. And that's something that you guys have already seen. I think we're releasing that before this particular episode that's going to be coming out just shortly after that particular interview. And so you guys have seen that. If you haven't, I highly recommend you guys go check it out. Because Justin Kinna is such an influential part in esports. He was one of the guys that helped bring FaZe to what it is now. And it's now doing major things for Complexity. And so that was yep. a really good time.
Yeah. And to Nuffy's earlier point with the Cowboys. So the Cowboys have invested into GameSquare, and one of the big, well, not the Cowboys, really Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys, invested into GameSquare. And then they made a huge investment in acquiring Complexity. And as part of that, they get to use a bunch of Cowboy stuff, which is awesome. GameSquare is so much bigger than that, though. And if you'll check out our interview with Justin Kinna, you'll learn that Complexity is kind of the North American esports arm of GameSquare. They also have R7 in South America. They also have LGD in China, which are other esports organizations that funnel up to GameSquare. They also have agency, a media company, an apparel brand, and manufacturer. They have a lot of stuff that rolls up into GameSquare. And so for the GameSquare execs to be at this Complexity event, to hang out with everyone at Complexity, which is just a part of their ecosystem, shows how important they think it is to be part of their growth. And that was really cool for us. So to talk to someone like Justin Kinna, you know, there are some people out there who don't know who he is, but the fact that they've acquired Complexity and he was at the event hanging out, willing to talk to everybody was really, really cool for us because we all love esports, but you have to understand the drivers that bring esports to your screen and that can engage with brands and really bring value to the space. And without that, there's no growth. And so one of the influential figures in growing esports and the fact that we're there speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was awesome. Amazing, obviously getting to talk to him a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. And then so, Nephi got a little video with on Twitter. If you guys ever look at Jake Lucky's Twitter and go back to the day, Nephi got a video with Tim, the Tap Man, and Jordan Fisher discussing some things with them. I thought that was awesome, dude. I was so jealous. I was in the hotel room typing my life away. And I see Nephi on Jake Lucky's Twitter talking to Tim and Jordan. And I was like, man.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a meme.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If Jake Lucky's listening to this episode, which, you know, who knows, I don't think we can keep his attention for this long. You know, it was kind of a meme because he didn't get a chance to go to that event, and he was really bummed that he didn't get a chance to go. And so I kind of rubbed it in his face a little bit and was talking to Tim and Jordan, and you know, we kind of teased him a little bit for it. So that was a good time. And Complexity retweeted and everything. So it was really cool to see that interaction get blown up on Twitter. But anyways, yeah, it was a good time overall. And so obviously we got to talk to some of those guys there. We Jason actually gave us, along with the media, and we've obviously have toured the facility before, but it was a little different having Jason actually walk us around. And Jason, like, for you guys that don't know, is the CEO of Complexity. Another amazing guy, a friend of the show. We love Jason. You know, he really showed us around, showed us the offices, showed us the building, and showed us the big things that Complexity is doing. You know, if you guys go and you guys, again, watch that episode with Justin Kennedy, you guys will learn a little more about the particular headquarters. And so, and that was just the first day. That was the day before the actual Tapman tailgate was supposed to start. And so they fed us some lunch. We went to that. And then, you know, we kind of hung out for the rest of the day with the creators that were staying at the hotel with us over at the pool. So, you know, it was Ninja, you know, Courage, Tim the Tapman, obviously. So it was Tim. And then our good friend American Dad and Daltouche and a few other guys that were coming and going. You know, it was overall, it was a great experience. And it was really, really fun before the work actually started the next day.
My favorite part of these update episodes that we have a few of them out now. My favorite part has got to be Neffy using food to guide the episode. He's like, they fed us some lunch and now it's time for the next subject. I love it, man. We're all big guys out here. So we got to kind of walk the grounds a little bit the day before, and it looked really cool. And one of the things that you always have to kind of be wary of with some of these events is how they set up the venue, because you're taking gaming and esports into a real world thing that doesn't involve gaming and esports as much. And that's why creator events are so interesting for us. Some of the issues that we kind of spotted that, you know, we didn't represent anyone doing any of the deals for this event. This was something that was handled by other lawyers and other law firms for this specific event. And so we feel comfortable kind of discussing some of the issues that we spotted by purely walking around. One of them is that the Cowboys own this big practice facility, and it's just a small stadium. I mean, that's what it is. And they have a little miniature field out front. It's really a fan-facing practice facility. It's one of the most innovative and coolest things in the NFL world. And they can use it for events like this.
And just to kind of interject, whenever we say issues, not issues that we saw, but more of like legal conflicts or legal, you know, legal issues, I guess they weren't problems that we noticed, but they were things that I know were hurdles along the way of planning this event.
They might not even be conflicts, just things that you would have to solve and prepare for as you went into it. And most of that has to do with brands. And so in esports, one of the biggest ways you can drive revenue or drive growth or money to your creators is by having brands be involved, because every brand wants eyeballs. They want everybody to see their brand and identify with it and hopefully buy it. As a consequence, a lot of these content creators will sign brand deals, but those might be different than the deals that are signed by orgs or by other venues or by teams. For example, at the Star, the Cowboys have a ton of brand deals. They have a ton of brand partners. They're one of the most popular sports organizations in the world. So at their little practice facility, and we talk about this on our vlog, which should be released sometime soon if it's not already, by the time you guys see this. So they have the Ford Center, which is the Ford vehicle brand. They have the Tostitos Plaza, which is the Tostitos brand. And they have the Legion by Lenovo Esports Center, which is Complexity's home. Now, just taking those three, there's a ton of others, but taking those three, imagine if you have a content creator that's sponsored by Ram Trucks, sponsored by Frito-Lay, and sponsored by Alienware. That's already three negotiations that have to be done before you can bring someone into that space, right? And it's just the way it is. And you can't violate those agreements that certain content creators have. You don't want to violate the agreements that certainly the Cowboys have. But those are some issues that had to be handled. And by all accounts, Neffy and I spoke to some of the lawyers that handled those deals, and it seemed like it was all handled pretty amicably and that everyone was okay with it. But it just goes to show that immediately upon walking in, one of the issues they had to solve for were the legal problems, or really the legal hurdles they had to jump over in order to get the event going. You can't just put content creators in a box and have everyone go meet them. You know, there's a lot of considerations on the front end.
And shout out to all the sponsors that do sponsor either the Cowboys or, you know, Tim the Tatman himself or Complexity, because it looks like everybody was pretty amicable about it. I'm sure there were some brands or sponsors of Tim's that didn't get a chance to necessarily contribute to this event that really wanted to, but didn't get a chance to because of all the current existing brands or sponsorship deals that, you know, the Cowboys have or that Complexity has. And so, you know, it looks like it was handled pretty amicably. I really didn't hear any stories about anybody, you know, making a big stink about it. I think the ones that they could make it work were able to make it work. And everybody seemed to contribute in a significant amount or in a significant way to where, you know, it was obvious that they were involved. You know, some of the examples are like Chipotle or NZXT that were there. That's one of, you know, Tim's computer partners. Obviously, the Tostitos and Ford were all there. They're all over the place. And then, you know, whatever other major brands, I mean, it was obvious who was involved, and it was cool to see it all together, to see the ecosystem, and all these businesses supporting an event like this creator event, that was the Tatman Tailgate.
Yeah. So let's get into the first day, on the first day of the event, which is a Saturday. It was supposed to start at noon. There was a party on the plaza, which is the plaza outside of the Ford Center, where people were going to go and just hang out. Most of what we saw were people kind of standing in lines, and there were some other things going on.
Everybody was
the area in Frisco. Yeah, the area in Frisco called the Star, which is the Cowboys practice facility. It's just surrounded by stuff. I mean, there's restaurants, there's bars, there's shops, and there's all kinds of stuff there. So people were perusing that. There was a car show that we didn't really check out as much, but it looked really, really cool. And so people were lining up to get into the stadium. And the way the stadium is set up is like a traditional bowl where you have seats along the sides and then you have a football field in the middle, right? And if you guys saw anything on Twitter or any of the vlogs that occurred or that are from the event, basically, on the field, you had a bunch of like tailgate games. They had cornhole. They had tailgate golf. They had laser tag. They had a bar down there. They had a stage down there with live music. They had other meet and greets of different content creators. And then on one side, they had a huge line of PCs for the Fortnite tournament. They also had an arcade. They had a variety of things down there that you could engage in. But the way the tickets were sold is if you bought just a general admission ticket, you couldn't get onto the field to enjoy those things. You had to have a separate type of ticket to do that. And so on the concourse, they also had food. They had a beer pong tournament. They had different content creators walking around doing meet and greets up there. They had the penguin walking around doing Kevin. Photo ops. Yeah, Kevin the Penguin doing photo ops, which is one of Tim the Tatman's little mascots. They had that stuff going on as well, kind of on the concourse. And then obviously, whenever there's live music, that kind of permeates throughout the entire thing. So as a result, we just decided to go and walk through and check out all of it. And it was pretty cool. We also had a producer with us, Mr. Trent Knox, who was there to get footage for us, to be a cameraman.
Our first and follow vlog us around. Ever. Yeah.
Our first vlog ever. And one thing we realized is that even if you have directional microphones, if you have lavalier microphones, if you have all these types of production stuff that we as lawyers are not intimately familiar with, but we've heard of, no matter how much money you spend, no matter what you do, if there is a live music stage blasting just, you know, metal, it's going to mess with your audio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was so much content that we recorded that you can't hear. You just hear the blaring music in the back. And so, you know, we kind of had to trim some of the stuff and we had to take advantage. Every time it got quiet, we're like, all right, let's do something. Let's talk to somebody. And, you know, it was kind of rough. And, you know, and we're not creative minds. And so we kind of, you know, we were figuring it out, and Trent did a fantastic job recording it all for us and doing some of the editing on the videos that we posted. but you know, it was a learning experience for us. You know, we're lawyers, you know, turned content creators. We're learning how to do this and we're trying to do it the right way. And man, boy, is it tough. I'll tell you that much. But it was amazing. It was amazing. And, you know, going on the floor, seeing all these things that were there. I mean, it was exactly what you would expect of a creator content or of a content creator led event such as this. And so Jake, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So I'll kind of let you finish.
No, you're good.
I interject.
No, go ahead. Continue interjecting. Yeah.
That's cool. What I was going to say is one of the coolest things and something you see as a fan, right? Whenever you're going to these events and you're going to go, you know, to a content creator sort of focused event, the purpose of why you go is to visit and try to meet the content creator, right? One of the things that I think the Tim and Tatman tailgate and Tim's team did perfectly was execute on the expectation, right? If I was to be there for different purposes, let's say I was just a fan and I wanted to show, I wanted to show up and try to meet some of these guys, that would be my primary goal, would be to go to this event and hopefully I get a chance to meet Tim, some of his friends, if you're lucky, take a picture with one or two. What this event was so fantastic at is that obviously Tim is somebody that everybody really likes in the content creator world. As you guys know, he's friends with virtually every large creator on every platform, whether it's Twitch or YouTube. And they all came and supported him full force. I mean, we were talking to Spence, who is one of the guys over in charge of partnerships at Complexity, and he was kind of in charge of handling all the talent that were coming into the event. Thomas Spencer, shout out if you're listening to this, man. It was so much. Thank you so much for helping us and making this sort of our appearance and us going to the event smooth. But I mean, he told us there was over 65 different content creators that were there. I mean, we had Bobby Poff, we had, you know, Optic Sabas, we had Goku, we had Ninja, we had, you know, Tim the Tatman, obviously, and all his friends. We had Nick Merckx, Courage JD, I mean, everybody, right? We had the Baka Bros, who we learned of recently, and those guys are awesome. Daltouche, American Dad, you know, all these really large creators. And I mean, these guys were just walking around. I mean, you could literally go get in line, go get you some nachos, and you're going to run to freaking Nick Merckx and Tim who are taking pictures next to the AT&T booth, you know, or you're downstairs on the floor, which, you know, Jay kind of told us about the tickets that you can get for the concourse. They also had, you know, silver tickets where you had access to the floor, and then they had gold tickets which give you access to VIP and a bunch of meet and greets. And I mean, these guys were walking around. I mean, one of the guys that we ran into was Stone Mountain 64, which is one that we didn't know he was going to be at the event. And it was obviously a pleasure seeing him there. And literally, we were just walking and we're like, holy smokes, is that Stone? Let's go say what's up. And, you know, just casually ran into him. Same thing with, you know, FaZe Swag. The Nuke Bros were there. FaZe Santana, Cloaksy. Just these massive creators. Literally just walking around, you can walk up to these guys and say, yo, what's up, man? Nice to meet you. Take a picture with them. You know, obviously once, you know, people started lining up, then the line would get really long, but no other event that we've heard of has ever happened of this type. And just, you know, these guys did it right. I mean, they had some fun things going on. You know, one of the memes that Tim has, you know, takes fall damage all the time whenever he's playing and he dies. So they had like a fall damage pit. There's a funny story with that. There's a guy that got hurt, and Jake and I just thought it was funny. He's a really nice guy too. And looks like they made everything right. But, I mean, just they delivered perfectly on the expectations. If your goal was to meet some of your favorite creators, they delivered on that. And I can just, I mean, I just praise these guys for being able to do that, because I think that's what people were looking forward to most.
Right. And I think that's something that's really important that we always emphasize. Especially Netfee emphasizes, and I don't work with as many content creators as maybe I would like to, because if you're working with their orgs, you can't really do a whole lot for them. But Netfee says this all the time, but it's, you know, a content creator's lifespan of peak popularity is very short in the space. The space is very young, and so we don't know if we're ever going to have someone that's popular, that's pulling large audiences for 20 plus years. But for most of these people, you're looking at, you know, 3 to 4 years of really peak popularity. And if you're not out there meeting people and engaging with your fans every chance you get, you are making a massive mistake. And that doesn't mean just showing up to the event and putting your name on the flyer. It means once you're there, you actually have to do the work, go down on the ground level, literally, and shake hands, take pictures, talk to people, engage with them, listen to what they say, you know, talk about it, relate to people on a different level because you're in person talking to them. And I don't feel weird saying this because I'm pretty sure these people will never really have a reason to listen to this podcast right now. But Jack Dunlop, Courage JD, FaZe Swag, FaZe Santana, Cloaksy. I mean, those guys are, they have a ton of popularity. They have enough money to really retire right now and be fine and be better off than 99% of the United States. They spent so much time down on the field talking to people with huge meet and greet lines. Courage meet and greet was supposed to land, was supposed to last 45 minutes. He was there for 4.5 hours on the field. I mean, that's yep. the type of dedication that these guys have. And these meet and greets, like I said, I mean, they were supposed to last 45 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour. The commitments were not that long. And guys were down there for hours, literally for hours, engaging with people, meeting with people. And whenever you think about it, if you have someone like a FaZe Swag or like a Courage JD, those are massive personalities, and it's great to have them at your event, but it's also great to see them still putting in the work. And so if, yeah. especially if you're a young content creator, you're just coming up and you think I'm too big to go to this Belong Arena and go to this Fortnite tournament or whatever, you're not, because the biggest guys in the space are still doing that same thing. And it's working for them. I mean, that's one of the coolest things that I saw. And I guarantee the 1,000 people that met Courage that weekend are going to have a memory that will last them for a lifetime. And they're going to be that much more engaged with this content, that much more engaged with this brand, because they met someone who was also really cool meeting people in person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not every day that you get to meet a 6'5" gamer.
Absolutely. And that was another cool thing is meeting, you know, content creators that are established and that we know, and then meeting new content creators that were there because they're either fan of you know, the particular content creator or fan of the org. You know, like one of the examples of the guys that we met there that we, you know, previously didn't know was Pac-Man, for example, who's a huge, you know, Warzone TikToker. He's one of the bigger, you know, streamers and content creators in Canada. And you know, killing it on Twitch too, who has become a dear friend of ours now. You know, we love Pac. If you're listening to this, man, shout out. It was such a pleasure meeting content creators like him that are there interacting with the fans. I mean, just they're there because it would, you know, they just wanted to be there. And there was so many people that were in the same situation where those guys went and show support. Cause a lot of those guys, you know, they weren't paying for their hotels. They weren't paying for their flights. Those guys paid their own expenses to be at the event. Obviously, the event was like, if you come and you show up, we're not going to charge you to be there, which is totally fair. But they had to pay their own way to get there. And that just shows the dedication of all these guys that are there to support the scene. I mean, what we like to see is people supporting each other, seeing content creators collab, content creators support each other at these events. And I mean, I wouldn't mind having, you know, 2, 3, or 4 of these events a year. I mean, it was such a great time. And, I mean, it's just these guys did it right. And when we're still haven't even gotten to this, the second day. And you know, obviously on top of that, we have the music, right? The concerts, the show. The first night, the theme was sort of like, you know, electric music. And then obviously the first half of the tournament that was being held there, hosted by, I think it was YouTube Gaming.
Fortnite tournament.
The Fortnite tournament. I think they call it the Tatman Hoedown or something like that. And that was also, you know, a great event to see all the computers set up. You know, and where the computers as cool as the ones that we've seen by CLX, like at DreamHack, you know, I don't think so. You know, NZXT, shout out to them for providing those computers, but you know, they obviously performed well. I didn't hear of any technical issues. But you guys could have probably brought some prettier computers, man. You guys just had these black boxes out there. Yeah. Cosmetically, they didn't look great. And so I don't know what was up with that. I maybe we're just spoiled and, you know, CLX computers that they bring to their events really kind of blow us away. But you know, NZXT, if you're listening to this, Some people want to see some cool computers, man. And you know, we weren't necessarily super impressed by what we saw, you know, for an event like that. You know, obviously y'all provided the computers, but you guys can do better. And so no shade towards NZXT, but you know, when you go to these events, you guys are being exposed to a lot of fans and people are seeing your products, you know, show off a little bit. Why not just, you know, throw on some RGB, throw on some glass, some tempered glass, you know, something, I don't know. I mean, it was just like a regular black desktop computer. And so, you know, and I don't know if that's how all the computers were, but all the ones that we saw, that's what we noticed. But anyways, I digress. You know, the Fortnite tournament was, you know, I think was also a huge event for a lot of people that were there watching it. You get to see him, you know, live, the interviews, you know, it's just, it was great all around.
Yeah. No. And then the casters were, they got some really good casting talent.
Oh yeah.
They also had MLG Puckett, or I guess whatever, just Puckett now. Cause MLG is a different thing, but yeah, so they had Papa Puckett out there, who's been a caster in esports since esports has been a thing. And yep, he's one of the best MCs you can really have. So they had him MC the entire event, not just the Fortnite tournament, but he had the microphone in his hand for everything and was announcing everything
Heck
throughout
of
the
a
weekend.
Job too, man.
Yeah, dude, such a great presence to have. I mean, the guy's a natural talent, and it was, and him and obviously Tim the Tatman are friends. He knows all the complexity guys because he's been around the scene for a very long time. But that was really cool.
Got a
cool
chance
as well
to talk to him too, and he was, I mean, yeah, just overall just a super nice guy.
Yeah. But yeah, to talk to a bunch of content creators, which is always fun for us, always cool to do, because you know, we're mostly just looking at their documents instead. And then the first day kind of wrapped up, and it actually wrapped up without too much. I mean, there were no other problems that we really saw. You know, everything went off pretty much without a hitch.
Yeah.
Then we prepare for the second day, and on the second day we were supposed to have a few big things. It was going to be the kind of the finals for the Fortnite Hoedown tournament. It was going to be a continuation of meet and greets and content creator interaction. It was going to be the final of the like beer pong tournament they had. And then it was going to be a concert with Kane Brown, who's a just massively famous country artist and apparently friends with Tim the Tap Man. And so they were going to have that
big gamer
as well
too
on Sunday. Yeah. Big gamer. And yeah, and so we started that out on Sunday. We looked at the footage of some of the footage that we got from the day before and realized that our audio was entirely scuffed. It was a major problem. And then we continued to try and get more footage and talk about some stuff. But at the same time, vlogging is a learning process. My goodness.
Yeah, it was rough, man. It was
rough. Because we have a producer with a $5,000 camera rig following us around everywhere, and we're encountering some issues with it.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we're kind of you're in the situation where, one, we don't have that production skill to be like, all right, let's set up right here and let's do this. Yeah. And lighting is perfect here. We were just kind of recording and going. You guys will see the video if you're watching this and you're listening to this. If you're watching this or listening to this, check out our YouTube channel, The Law of Esports on YouTube, and go check it out. And you can see what we're talking about. It's a little rough, but you know, we tried our best. Trent, you know, did a fantastic job editing the video. And it's going to get better. Trust us. You know, we've got a couple events for this year, and hopefully you'll see some progress in our content, as it gets better. But, you know, that second day I think was just as good as the first day. I mean, the content creators went out in full force. Those guys were out there walking around, you know, saying hi to people, taking photos with folks. The Fortnite tournament basically reached a conclusion. You know, shout out to one of our really good friends, Out Trumped, who is an absolute beast on the sticks. I think he plays on a PlayStation controller. I mean, the dude is insane. He's extremely aggressive when he plays. And you know, it was kind of tough. You know, if we're going to, you know, and just spoiler alert, we're going to criticize a little bit the Fortnite tournament as far as what happened, specifically in regards to the games. You know, they sort of announced that they were supposed to have six games total. Then they cranked it down to four. And then after the fourth, they were like, oh, we're just kidding. We're going to have five. And which is, you know, I get it for time's sake. I understand why they would do it. But it's tough for the guys that are playing the competitors, because their play style shifts completely depending on how many rounds there is. And so some guys, if it's the last round, you're going to go balls to the walls and you're going to play very aggressive because you need to score some points. Whether you win or lose, you get killed, you get points. And so we saw that there were some very, very good players that played differently based on the amount of rounds they were going to have. And so, you know, without naming names, there were some guys that I think should have ended up in the top three but didn't because of that particular situation. But, you know, no, not to give any excuses, all the competitors did a fantastic job. And, you know, everybody competed and did a really good job. And the tournament itself was run very well. I think the casters, like Jake said, were fantastic. The guys competing were amazing. And then, you know, that was towards the end of the day. You know, all the events were still going on. Music was going throughout the day.
Just to chime in on the Fortnite tournament, so we don't skip over that entirely. But for the Fortnite tournament, the one thing about Battle Royale tournaments and esports that's kind of frustrating is it's every tournament is different. I mean, there's not like a unified rule set for tournaments. Thankfully, that's finally starting to get ironed out in Apex. But in terms of the rest of Battle Royale tournaments, there's no real set rule set, right? And I think the only reason why there's one in Apex is because it's kind of a team-based Battle Royale. But in most Battle Royales, you just kind of are at the behest of whoever the tournament organizer is, and that's kind of all you have. And so that's the one reason why we think that Battle Royales are so hard to be, you know, a quote-unquote professional in, because you don't really know exactly what rule set you're going into. And even if you're playing the game and you start the tournament, there's still a chance that could change as you're playing. And that's what happened in this one, where they were supposed to have six games, then four, then five. And it may sound like, okay, if I'm in a Battle Royale, I'll try and win every game. But you do play differently. Imagine if you're playing baseball, you step up to the plate, and the umpire says, okay, instead of only having three strikes before you're out, you get one strike. And you're like, well, okay, I'm going to be very careful on how I swing. Or if the umpire says, okay, actually, you get six strikes this at bat, you're like, okay, well, I can swing at a lot more stuff now. Kind of the same thing in a Battle Royale. If you got one shot to be a winner or you're out of the game, it's a Battle Royale's function, you're going to play differently depending on how many games you have to aggregate your score. And that's why Battle Royale tournaments are so hard to organize. The one thing about this one is that was amateur only, so it's not like any pro points were riding on it, which is helpful. There was still a lot of money on the line. So that's just one of the challenges in organizing a Battle Royale tournament picking the rule set, picking the game set.
I'm not going to talk too much about it, but there were some rumors going on about some of the guys, whether or not they should have been competing in there. And let's say I'll leave it at that. Let's make sure if you guys
play
these tournaments, you maintain your integrity and, you know, compete if you're supposed to and don't compete if you're not supposed to. And so,
if a tournament requires, if a tournament requires amateur status, make sure you're an amateur. If it requires pro status, make sure you're a pro. And that's pretty much the end all be all of that issue.
And we'll leave it at that.
But that's one of the hard parts in Battle Royale tournaments is that you have to pick a rule set and kind of run with it. Yeah. And, it's just kind of tough.
And another thing too is, you know, the code, the way it's written, it's kind of randomized. The loot is going to vary. And that also is very hard for you to kind of set a plan and play because you never know what loot you're going to get. You never know if, you know, that a particular area that you drop in is going to give you the exact same thing every time. It might be random one game or, you know, it'll be consistent and then all of a sudden it won't be. And so that's why Battle Royales are tough. But we love to see that they're out there. You know, we love to see that YouTube Gaming and Epic Games are supporting events like this by hosting tournaments like this. I mean, these guys, what was it, $100,000 tournament? And there's a lot of money on the line. And so, and then Herman Miller, who, by the way, after this tournament, we went ahead and got some Herman Miller chairs. Those have been bodies. And I'm actually sitting on one right now. And boy, those things make a difference. They're a little more on the expensive side, but I guarantee if you're listening to this, it's worth every penny. So shout out to Herman Miller and Herman Miller Gaming. These chairs are the real deal, those embodied chairs. And so You know, if you guys, you know, want to partner up or team up with us, you know, don't call me a sellout, but I really like this chair, and I would not mind having another one for my actual office. This is my gaming setup. I need one for when I'm working because I'm a bigger guy. What I like about these chairs is that, you know, they're
don't get too far from the mic on me.
Oh yeah, sorry. What I was saying is I'm a heavier guy, right? And these chairs are perfect for bigger guys. The weight distribution is amazing. The back support is awesome. And that's part of the reason why I liked it, because a lot of chairs,
the airflow,
they're not big boy friendly. Yeah, dude, the airflow too. I mean, it's just, they're amazing. I mean, Jake is a massive dude. I'm not as tall, but I'm probably just as heavy, or maybe a little heavier than Jake. And so these chairs are magic. But anyways,
the M-body seemed really cool. At work, I rock
Herman Miller.
Yeah, I rock a Herman Miller Aeron at work.
Yeah.
It's a solid chair. One of these days, I'll rock an M-body, you know. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah. Herman Miller, if you want to send us some, you know.
Yeah. Well, since we already kind of started talking about it, for like other things that we would critique, we're kind of already there, I guess, at this point in the podcast. But is there anything else that you would critique? There's kind of a few things I would change a little bit about the weekend or about the setup. But I don't know if you had seen anything else. I think one of the things that I would change is there was so much cool stuff that went on the football field when it came to the tailgate, like atmosphere, with all the tailgate games and the meet and greets and all that. There was so much stuff going on the field, but you know, outside of concessions, there wasn't a whole lot going on the concourse, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot on the plaza. And so the value proposition for buying a ticket that gets you on the field was massive. You got to play all the games. You got to meet all the content creators. You were up close and personal for the live music. But if you only had a ticket that got you onto the concourse, you could obviously walk up there and you got a free t-shirt. Not free t-shirt. You got one with the purchase of your ticket. But that was pretty much it. And I just wonder if there was a way to set up additional stuff out there, because not getting on the field is kind of tough when the field looks so awesome.
Yeah, and it was weird to see, you know, those guys are in the audience, right? Like the bleachers, I guess, for lack of a better term, just kind of watching all the fun happen on the floor. And that was kind of a bummer to see that, because you go upstairs and they did have. You know, they did have beer pong up on one of the corners, or water pong. I don't know what Tim Pong or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Tim Pong. Yeah.
Whatever it was called. And then a smaller sort of arcade on the left side. And it really wasn't anything super impressive for those folks. And I think there was a lot of people that had those tickets. There's a lot of people sitting in the stands. So I tend to agree with you, Jake. I think that's one of the things that we were talking about that we noticed, where like, shoot, if I didn't have access to the floor, I'd be, you know, you get bored pretty quickly. And really what you're doing is you're watching just other people interact. And so it increases the value for you to kind of spend the extra money to get on the floor next time. But at that event, you know, I'd be bummed if I was just sitting there watching everybody take pictures of my favorite content creators and me not get a chance to meet them. And so, you know, the way you sort of counteract that is, you know, engage, have these guys, maybe a couple of the smaller creators, somebody walk around up there, which it was happening. They did meet and greets at the concourse level as well. So don't get me wrong. It's like those guys didn't get any value. There were still a lot of content creators walking around up there. And there was stuff for them to do. But I think they could have done a little bit more. But, you know, it is the first event. I think a lot of people probably gave them that feedback already. And so I hope they work on it. So that way next time, whenever they do that event, you know, they kind of add a little more value to the folks that, you know, and it's not so much that they don't want to. They probably can't afford to get some of those tickets that give you access to the floor. Right. And so, yeah, so I tend to agree with you, Jake. There's not as much value proposition there for the lower level tickets.
Yeah, and the only, I mean, one of the other things that is some minor criticism, not of Tim the Tap Man or of Complexity or the event in general, but there was about 55 content creators there. Thomas Spence at Complexity did a fantastic job of getting creators to agree to come out, and a ton did. When you think about 55 people who are popular on Twitch, YouTube, you know, on all these platforms, massive on Twitter. That's a really hard task. And they did that, they did a very good job of that. One of the things that I think content creators have to remember as they go into more live events, because we haven't had them for about 2 years now, but as live events continue to happen and as content creators continue to make commitments to go to more and more of them, we talked very glowingly about some of the big guys that are out there: Courage, Swag, Daltouche, American Dad, Face and Tana, like all these guys that did a really good job of interacting and engaging with people. There was a VIP room for the content creators, which you pretty much have to have nowadays for guys to go take a rest and a breather. But the problem is that a lot of content creators, particularly the ones that maybe aren't as big as Ninja, which is a ton of people, would go up there and just kind of stay up there in order to interact with content creators bigger than them, and didn't take advantage of the opportunity to come down and engage with all of the people that were there that know who they are. And so, like, if I have a client that's at that event, I'm telling them, look at what Courage JD is doing. Look at what FaZe Swag is doing. Some of the biggest guys in your space that are interacting with people for hours on end, right? And if you don't take advantage of that, then you're kind of wasting your time. And I get that everybody wants to go to these events and have a good time. But just remember, if you want to continue to grow your brand and continue to make a living off of this wonderful world of esports and gaming, you have to continue to interact with people whenever you get the opportunity, because these opportunities are coming back, but they're still like pretty far and few between. And so just because there's an opportunity to interact with other creators, definitely take it. And at all these events, you'll have the opportunity to do that at nighttime, which we got to do as well. We get to go out to dinner and go out and have drinks or whatever. You get to hang out with everyone then anyways. And so when you're at the event, take the time to interact with people. If people are calling out your name as you're walking to the VIP lounge, don't just wave and keep on walking. Take the time to meet with people, talk to people, and really continue to grow your brand.
Yeah. And that's something that I tell my talent all the time, right? One of the keys, sort of one of the unique elements to live streaming, is building a relationship with your viewers, right? A lot of these guys, you've probably most of the people that follow your channel, you've never met in person, but whenever you log on a daily basis, you share life experiences with them. You tell them, hey, this is what's going on in my life. They get excited. They get happy. They donate to you. They give you their hard earned money to support you and continue to allow to provide, you know, to sort of continue to game or share your life with them. This is very personable to them, right? This is something that they sort of build the relationship in their heads with their content creators. And whenever they meet you and you don't seem as approachable, that could potentially hurt your brand. And so I'm not saying, you know, spend all day and interact with these people, but I tend to agree with Jake. There was so many content creators that were there that we noticed, but that didn't come down. And we're not calling anybody out in particular, but you know, if obviously at the same time, this is a business, right? And as esports attorneys, our job are to help our clients and to help content creators growing their business and continue to make, you know, to make their business profitable, make more money. And the way that you do it in the content creator business is by building a fan base. And whenever you're approachable and whenever people can know that if they come up to you and they take a picture, obviously there's a time and place for everything, but if you're approachable, they'll become fans versus say, oh, I'm kind of, you know, it wasn't as cool as I thought to meet X creator. You know, let me go to somebody else. Or, you know, I met Repulse, for example, at this, I'm not saying me in particular, I'm just saying in general, I met Repulse and that dude was awesome. And he gave me a hug and he said, what's up? And, you know, and every time I go to his Twitch, which, you know, before we actually started recording today, we logged onto his Twitch. And I mean, the guy's interacting really well with his chat, which is, you know, that's one of the key things that drives support. Whenever you're interacting with your viewers and whenever you're acting with people in real life, and it's enjoyable, that creates a fan. And a lot of these fans, they're super fans. They're people that not just sit in and lurk. There's a lot of people that do that, but they're people that are more likely to gift a sub or more likely to subscribe or more likely to donate or more likely to interact in your chat, right? Because you want your chat. I mean, you want it flying. You want people talking to each other. You want to build a community. And the way that you do it is by going on the concourse and interacting with these people or you know, being more personable. And so very good point, Jake. And I just kind of want to ditto everything you said. I mean, you guys have to be out there and you have to interact with these people because those are your consumers, right? If you consider yourself a content creator or business, your consumers are your fans.
Yes.
If you're too cool to interact with your consumers, then that's negative for your brand. That's like Walmart saying, no, you can't come in, right? Walmart lets everybody in. And I'm not saying be Walmart, but know who your consumer is. Know the foundation of your business. And well, that's essentially at the end of the day what we are.
And to Neffy's point, whenever you can go to an event like a DreamHack or like a Tim the Tatman event, or if there's another Nick Merck's barbecue or whatever the case is, if you go to a Call of Duty major and you're a content creator in esports and gaming, you know, there's a reason why NZXT sponsored this event. And there's a reason why other gaming, like why Intel sponsors these events. And it's because they want their name out in front of people that are already interested in gaming, but may not be interested in their brand. If you're, let's say, an Apex player, but you have the chance to go to a Call of Duty event, or you're an esports competitive player, but you have a chance to go to like a Tim the Tatman event where everyone's just kind of a fan of content creators, they're all still fans in the space and they are primed and ready to start following you if you are also in that space. You have a captive audience of potential consumers to be fans of you that are already in the mindset of consuming esports and gaming content. And so it's just, I mean, and the fact that you can do that without having to pay for that access, because remember, Intel, NZXT, these companies pay for that access. You are going either for free or getting paid to be there. And so that's a massive benefit. And if you don't take advantage of it, you are literally wasting money. I mean, it's people that all want to follow you that you are not engaging with. And so that's the only thing is, you know, just keep on driving the engagement, because we did see a number of people who we've worked with in the past or who we've worked tangentially to who just went just to go and like not interact with literally anybody.
That's not a critique to Tim's team. Any of the, or Complexity or the Cowboys, you know, it's just a comment that we have. It's an observation that we made. Because at the end of the day, right, our job is to advise our clients on how to grow their business and how to do what's best for them. And so it sounds kind of like we're harping on this a lot, but it's just an observation. You know, it's not aimed or towards anybody. We're just saying it in general. Outside of those critiques and outside of the small comments that we've made, it was an amazing event. Like I said,
really
cannot
cool.
harp enough how, I mean, the people that were able to interact with the content creators, I mean, Complexity, the Cowboys, Tim's team delivered on what they promised, which was you're going to get a chance to meet me. You're going to get a chance to meet my friends. You're going to get a chance to have some fun. You're going to get a chance to listen to some country music, to some, you know, EDM. And have a good time. And they delivered on that perfectly. Yeah. Are there some things it could have done? Sure, there's some minor tweaks it could have done. But generally, as a consumer going in, there really wasn't a hitch. I mean, honestly, you know, me being a big guy, you make fun of me, Jake. One of the nacho stands right out of that white queso that they have. And I was kind of annoyed by that. But, you know, that's not Complexity's fault. And so, you know, apart from that, it was a fantastic event. We had a great time. You know, if I was a consumer, I would absolutely not think twice to buy the gold or the silver passes. I mean, I wouldn't 100%. Think twice because you got exactly what you pay for and more. I mean, like I said, if your goal was to meet all those major content creators, had you gone to this event, you would have been able to meet every single one, guaranteed. Ninja, Courage JD. I mean, I'm not going to go through all the list, but all those big guys that you think about, you would have gotten a chance to meet them had you gone to this event. So, for those of you guys that are listening to this, if y'all ever have an opportunity to attend an event like that, do it, okay?
Oh, 100%.
It's, you know,
100%.
It's worth it.
So. Yeah, it was cool because the main attraction there, I mean, the main point of the whole thing was just to have fun. It was different than our traditional esports event where we go like IEM or like a Call of Duty Major where you go to watch a tournament and watch the games being played. You're there just to have fun. And so without structure, those events can be really hard to manage and hard to make sure they go well. And man, it went phenomenally. And we can't say enough about the guys at Complexity for helping to put this together. Jason Lake, Kyle Batista, the COO over there, Rita Landells, Spence, that really put this together and made it shine. And definitely if there's another one, which I hope there is, we hope it's a yearly thing. Yeah. And the annual Tim the Tap Man tailgate, because it was very, very cool. And we were fortunate enough to meet a bunch of people that just showed up. And there were people who were there from all over, from Georgia, mm-hmm. from Alabama, from Washington, from New York, from North Dakota, from Nebraska, from California. Obviously, a lot of people from Texas, but people came from all over. And if you measure the success of an event by how many people it can attract and where they're from, it attracted people from everywhere that were just fans of the space because they wanted to engage with these creators and have a good time. And that's exactly what they got. It was really cool.
Yeah. It was just overall, it was a great experience. We want to thank, Complexity and the Cowboys and, Tim's team for allowing us an opportunity to go attend and interact with everybody. We had such a fantastic job and we look forward to the next event. With that being said, Jake, do you have any closing remarks? I think I've already said what I've had to say. If you have nothing else to add.
I have one more thing to add. I have one more thing that I feel like I'm going to feel really bad if I don't add. And that is, Neffy's my co-host of the podcast and I like him a lot, but my two favorite people in the world right now at the moment have to be American Dad and Thomas Spence. Because there are sometimes people that we don't know at these events, and AD Spence have been really cool about introducing us to people and just hanging out, having a great time. Literally two of the best people I've ever met in any space, much less esports and gaming. So, those two guys especially. We met so many other cool people for the first time. Daltouche, who I'd never met before. Really, really cool dude. Hilarious and awesome. But, man, AD, Spence, you guys, y'all are some of the best people I've met in any industry, much less esports and gaming. So, I had to just say that for closing remarks.
If you are listening and you made it this far, there's your shout out. So, and I ditto what you say. AD he's a real homie. So shout out to my boy, follow him on Twitch and all socials, American Dad. Hopefully he'll get verified on Twitter soon. So, we'll see if that happens too. But anyways, thank you guys again for listening to this episode. We've got a few more events coming up. We've got Call of Duty League, championship, series in LA, coming up, and then, the Rocket League, Worlds coming up in Dallas, actually, also in, I think, the second week of August. So we're going to have a lot of very exciting things going on. We've got some very exciting interviews planned to come up. And then, as you guys have noticed, Jake and I have started putting out shorter form content, some shorter videos discussing just random, topics that come up, and try to dissect things a little bit and provide a different opinion and a different sort of analysis of things that are happening. So you guys keep an eye out for that. Make sure you guys follow us on all socials. The Law of Esports all across, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, go drop a follow. And we thank you guys so much for stopping by and listening to this episode. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, guys.